Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
We have several roads that we have spent millions of dollars to design, and there is no money to do those. So I just want to make it very clear to you, we should not live in a fantasy world, right? If we're not going to create a funding source or identify funding.
Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator, engaging in what I can only describe as the sternest talk I have ever heard him give. And he's not wrong. He's talking about the MSTUs, the two of them that were proposed on Thursday to add, and one would be for public safety. This was now the second one. They were getting ready to talk about the second one. He was frustrated that the first one got voted down 2-3. Kerry Smith and Colton Wright voting for it, Rhett Raub, Bobby Burkett, and Ray Eddington voting against it. And he says, look, we got like hundreds of millions of dollars worth of projects that need to be done in this county. It's almost $500 million. And that's not even including the bridge, because we don't know how much the bridge would cost. Okay, almost $500 million. He said, we got no way to fund them. So what the hell, people? That's basically what he's saying, you know, and there is no money. Stop living in a fantasy world.
I mean, just for one road alone that we have spent a couple million dollars, it is designed right now, and that's Berry Hill Road Phase 1. The design of that road is $1.9 million that this board has already committed to spending. We have no money to fund that road. And phase one is $45 million. Phase two is anticipated to $50 million, and phase three is $35 million. That takes it all the way from Stewart Street to Five Points, essentially.
That's $130 million to fix Berry Hill. We have encumbered about $2 million into design. And we got all these designs we're spending all this money on, and we don't have any money to build these roads. And that's the problem. Why are we wasting money on these designs?
I just want it very clear, because I have to go and interact with the citizens group. They want me to come talk to them. They want me to explain where we're going. We're not going anywhere.
Correct. Correct. And if you keep refusing to generate revenue, you won't pass a local option sales tax increase. You don't want to have MSTU for public safety. You don't want to have an MSTU, or at least it seems like it, for roads. Well, it's just all nothing. It's just all smoke and mirrors. There's nothing we can do about it. We cannot afford these projects.
So I think it's only fair to tell the citizens, if we don't have the funding sources, we're not widening Shamukla Highway. We're not widening Berry Hill Road. We are not widening. We're not doing the intersection improvements that we have spent almost $2 million to be in design for right now for Five Points. I believe that's a $26 million design.
Not going to happen.
Some of the ones we're doing PD&E, you'll see there, we got Shamukla and a PD&E. That's a step that I would say we spent, I think, $1.5 million. I can't remember all the numbers.
Maybe that produces something.
That qualifies us for some state funding down the road. So I guess a PD&E is not a bad thing. We're ready if some grant money comes up. You know, why we were able to accomplish a lot of the projects that we've already done is because of the windfall from the federal government. The ARPA money, the COVID money, that money is gone.
Yeah, that's all gone.
We have another PD&E, the Navarre Community Access Road. We're doing the PD&E, but there is no money for that.
Remember this idea about having a second road parallel to Highway 98 in Navarre, where people will be able to get through when the traffic is real bad on 98? It's all drawings. Because there's no money. No money. Not even, you know, South Park internet money. There's no money.
Sabrina, how much did we put toward capital last year? $6 million?
$5 million from general fund reserves.
So $5 million went toward that. Pick any project on there. We'll pick the Berry Hill one. $45 million. 9 years to fund that. Nothing else on here, just that one. We'll take our growth.
One project, one third of that project out of a $140 million project. We can do phase one over the next 9 years and nothing else.
We should only be honest with the citizenry out there that if we do nothing, all this that we have spent our money on, there is no money to do it. So I've had that conversation with you guys. I was going to use it on the June 23rd, but I think it's only fair. We're talking about roads, so let's just get it out there. We're not going to do them. We will do them when we have money available, but I would ask, please quit coming to us with projects to add to the capital improvement list.
Right.
We have plenty that we can't fund, and then I would ask you to decide which one do you want us to put the money forward on so we can do a project instead of spreading it all over and not getting any of them done. We need to figure out what project we're going to take any growth to, put to, and let's do it so we can say we at least accomplished something other than put a bunch of things in design and we have all these pretty plans on the shelf, but we have no plan to do anything with them. So thank you for tolerating me for that.
Yeah, I mean, stop asking. You're not willing to pay for anything. Stop asking. And Colton Wright...
Brad, thank you for that strong dose of reality.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, and he's not wrong. 437-1620. Now, let me say this. I don't take positions on taxes that I don't have to pay. And if there's an additional millage rate in Santa Rosa County to pay for roads, I wouldn't have to pay for that because I don't own a home in Santa Rosa County. So... I just don't take positions on telling people to raise or lower their taxes because I feel like, you know, if it's kind of like I'm reluctant to talk about a tax that I don't have to pay. But I have heard nothing in the 11 years that I have lived here except the roads, the roads, the roads, the roads, the roads, the stormwater, the roads, the stormwater, the roads, the roads, the roads, you know, in Santa Rosa County. Well, somebody got to pay for it, and it's not going to be the federal government or the state. So... what you going to do? Accept the bad infrastructure or find a way to pay for it? Those are your options, right? John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. No delays on 29. Highway 99 mile or even Highway 98. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Although the Blue Angels are the oldest continuously organized flight demonstration team in the world, they were not the first. Before we explore the history of the Blue Angels, let's take a look at those who preceded them. Flight began with the Wright brothers' first flight in 1903. The birth of naval aviation was 8 years later in 1911. Recognized as the grandfathers of precision aerobatic flight, the Three Hawks were the Navy's first exhibition team. The Three Hawks were a three-plane team formed within VB-2B Squadron in 1928 at NAS North Island in San Diego, California. They were the original Felix the Cat Squadron, which served aboard the aircraft carrier USS Langley. Flying Boeing F-2B-2s, the Three Hawks' first public exhibition was at Mines Field, what is now Los Angeles International Airport, during the National Air Races September 8th through 16th, 1928. They flew formations which were, for the time, considered exceptional. Some maneuvers even involved flying while tied together with ropes. The Three Hawks represented the Navy at air shows until late 1929, when all three pilots received orders to new assignments and the team disbanded. Another team from Squadron VF-1B aboard the USS Saratoga, called the High Hatters, flew during the late 20s and early 30s. The team consisted of 9 aircraft and pilots that were rotated among different sections within the squadron. Even Charles A. Lindbergh flew with the High Hatters during the Cleveland Air Races in 1929, 2 years after his solo flight across the Atlantic. The Three Flying Fish was an exhibition team formed at NAS Anacostia in Washington, D.C. in the spring of 1930. 1 year later, the men were transferred and the planes returned to use in the regular fleet. Meanwhile, onboard NAS Pensacola, a group of instructor pilots within Training Squadron 5 formed a team called Three Galantzels, a name taken from the high sails on square-rigged ships. The group flew together from 1930 through 1932. No other naval flight demonstration team would fly until the end of World War II. And that team was the Blue Angels. I'll be back with more after this.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
How and why the Blue Angels were formed will be covered next time on News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Not all service companies are created equal. Hi, this is Judy Lacey with Barbary Plumbing, and we're proud to say we're a local, family-owned small business serving our community for over 50 years. In 1972, my dad, Louis Barbary, started this company with a vision of providing the best quality service with honesty and integrity for the community. Small businesses are the heart of America, and when you support a locally owned small business, you help to keep your community strong. We are not one of those plumbing franchise companies that will charge you an arm and a leg. At Barbary Plumbing, we always use the flat rate pricing so you know exactly how much the job will cost before the work begins. No franchise fee to pass along. You may not need a plumber today, but when you do, call Pensacola's best plumber, Barbary Plumbing, at 477-8782. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.
License number RF1106-7749.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, jail isn't so bad. It's where I learned how to surf.
Good morning, 622 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, man, this is good music. It really is. I missed the good music of the day when it was 40 years ago. Did you see? This made me laugh. Look, there are a lot of things about President Trump that, you know, drive me up the wall. And a lot of things that I like, too. But, you know, it's such a mixed bag. But did you see his Truth Social post about the protests, the so-called No Kings protest, which cracked me up still because people were, again, like on my Facebook page, you know, what, Andrew, do you believe in King? Come on. This is not just about that. And, you know, the title of the bill is not the same as what's in the bill a lot of times, right? And so, you know, this is not merely about there not being a king. But he said, this just made me laugh. A huge thank you to all of the No Kings protesters yesterday. I was very concerned a king was trying to take my place, but thanks to your tireless efforts, I am still your president. Great job, all.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no, I hadn't seen that one.
That's the best troll ever. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our thanks to all your tireless efforts. I am still your president. Go on, David, go on.
After that, I'm in no condition. That is master trolling.
It is
good. That's wonderful. All right, yeah, I do have some headlines for you. The suspect in the killing of Minnesota state lawmaker and the serious wounding of another over the weekend is in police custody, and this is after a massive manhunt there in Minnesota. Vance Bolter was his name. He was captured about 50 miles southwest of Minneapolis yesterday. Apparently, he was spotted on a trail cam. He's accused of killing Democrat State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband. He also shot Democratic Senator John Hoffman and his wife. And then he was involved in a shootout with police and just all sorts of stuff in Minnesota.
And, you know, Tim Walz, of course, the governor, well, I guess I feel really dumb. Is Tim still the governor of Minnesota?
Yes. Yes, he
didn't have to resign to be.
No.
Okay, I'm so used to Florida's rules. Okay, anyway, although I guess our governor didn't have to resign either to run. But he said this after the at the press conference, what, like late last night, this morning, after they had found it, after they caught him, I believe this is where this came from.
A moment in this country where we watched violence erupt. This cannot be the norm. It cannot be the way that we deal with our political differences. Now's the time for us to recommit to the core values of this country.
Yeah, amen. I mean, of course. The whole point of politics is that we're not doing violence. That's it's the substitute for violence. Democracy is the alternative to having civil war. Go ahead, David.
Well, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is defending his country's military actions against Iran. He did an interview with Fox News. Netanyahu said that Israel will do whatever is necessary to remove the nuclear threat that Iran poses. And the Los Angeles community now of Pacific Palisades is fully open to the public for the first time since the wildfires back in January. On Sunday, the Los Angeles Fire Department finally lifted all evacuation orders for that area. And for months, access to the burn area had been restricted to just residents, business owners, or authorized personnel.
You know, thinking about the idea that you had, you know, one portion of L.A. like had this fires problem, and then you had this other portion that had the protest riots problem. And I saw a map that just said, you know, if you want for some significance, you want to see the scale of the L.A. riot protests, and it was a teeny tiny little red dot, which is one little tiny part of Los Angeles. David, thanks so much for the update. Let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Yes, I do. Let's see here. We've got no accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are still flowing smoothly. Not seeing any delays either. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. What else do we have? Lots of stuff going on. I don't want to get into that. Yeah, I kind of do it. The House has now approved some of President Trump's requests to defund NPR, PBS, and reduce foreign aid. So remember, the theory was that he couldn't just do this on his own. He would have to go ask for Congress because Congress appropriated the money, and the president can't just not spend the money because he doesn't like the program. And true, which by the way, just to go back for a second on this No Kings thing. The size of the protest, at least here in Pensacola, based on the video footage that I saw from the graffiti bridge, was maybe a third, quarter to a third of what it was for George Floyd. So, I mean, still substantial, but, you know, not massive. And it did get me to thinking, like, I was trying to guess how many people were at Graffiti Bridge, and I would say maybe 500. I'm just, you know, ballpark, okay? And that got me to thinking, well, okay, and there were a couple of other ones. There was that one on Airport, and I guess there was supposed to be one in Navarre. And so, okay, let's say in our region, let's say there were 1,000 people. It's probably not too far off. Okay, so 1,000 out of a regional population of 500,000. Right? I mean, 1,000 out of 500. So that's 1 in 500. That's 0.2% of the population, approximately. I mean, you know, maybe you quibble. It's 0.4%. I don't care, whatever. But a very, very small slice of the population that participated in this gets a lot of attention. Okay? And I'm not saying it's not a news story. But the thing I was thinking is, okay, so let's say you had, 500 people at Graffiti Bridge. How many people at the last Wahoos game? I mean, the stadium holds, what, 4,000 or 5,000, something like that? How many people went to the last performance at the whatever they were doing at the Sanger or at Vinyl or at the Bay Center? You say, well, those are different. I'm just, you know, things that people get together to do on a routine basis where they pull several hundred or even 1,000 people together. I mean, it's 500 people is not that big of a deal, not really. And again, I'm not disparaging the cause. Can I tell you, John, I was tempted to call for my own protest. Well, no, because what
you're
thinking...
You're going to call for your own.
I was tempted. I decided not to do it, but I was tempted to basically... Here was my idea. I'll just go on the radio Monday. I'll put it on Facebook. I'll say, hey, let's meet at Palafox and Garden, and if you support ICE, let's just show up and say, I support ICE. I support Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And we'll all meet at noon... And we'll be there for like 5 minutes because we all have to get back to jobs we have.
I was wondering if there are going to be food or snacks.
No, no. It'd be real brief, be real quiet, no chance.
I don't want to do chance. No, because you need to come up with a good one.
No, I just.
That way I can play it over and over for you.
And I thought, you know, this could be the kind of thing like, A, it could be like me and just me. Andrew McKay with one piece of poster board, and then I got to go buy poster board, and that's a waste of money. I decided
I'll
not
give
to
you
do
a box you
but
can
I,
write on.
I was genuinely curious how many people just from around the area would be willing to show up at an impromptu noon get-together for 5 minutes.
You know what? So you won't be alone. I'll show up.
Okay. All right. But we're not actually going to do it. I mean, if somebody else wants to do it, that's fine. That was my thought was, because you never know. Like, the whole point of a vote is that both sides get to vote. Well, the other side is just not bothering to vote, right? We're not having our own protest.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The man accused of shooting two Minnesota state lawmakers, killing one and her husband Saturday, is tracked down in a field near his home.
The suspect crawled to law enforcement teams and was placed under arrest at that point in time.
Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension Superintendent Drew Evans there. Vance Belter is charged with murdering Melissa and Mark Hortman and the attempted murder of John Hoffman and his wife, Yvette, posing as a police officer at their homes. President Trump is with other world leaders at the G7 summit in Alberta, Canada.
Administration officials say shoring up new trade and energy deals, critical minerals, immigration, and reaching consensus on AI development are on the agenda at the G7. But international attention is again on the Middle East, as President Trump insists a nuclear deal with Iran is still possible amid escalating airstrikes from Israel and retaliatory missile launches from Tehran.
That's Fox's Jared Halpern. The president meets one-on-one with Canada's Prime Minister Mark Carney this morning. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got, looks like, clear skies. It is 76 degrees in Pensacola. Well, anti-Trump protests in Pensacola drew pretty big crowds of several hundred on Saturday. The two No Kings rallies were held at the Graffiti Bridge and near the Cordova Mall and PSC campus. Protesters were against Trump administration policies on immigration and tariffs. The two rallies were held roughly around the same time as a large military parade in Washington, D.C. that was celebrating the U.S. Army's 250th birthday and Flag Day. Saturday was also President Trump's 79th birthday. A domestic violence situation turned deadly in Baldwin County on Saturday. Officials say this incident happened in Fairhope at a home on Dominion Drive Saturday night. Baldwin County deputies say they found two people with serious injuries. They were brought to a hospital in Pensacola. One of the victims died. The other's still being treated. 38-year-old Ryan Smith was identified as a suspect. Officials say he had fled the scene before law enforcement arrived, but was captured after a pursuit on I-65 that ended in Escambia County, Alabama. Deputies stopped Smith's vehicle with a grappler system. He's charged with murder and with attempted murder. We're learning a little bit more about the numbers of people taken into custody during immigration sweeps across southwest Alabama last week. At least 46 people were arrested between Baldwin and Mobile counties during federal operations by agents from multiple agencies, including the FBI, ICE, Border Patrol, DEA, and ATF. This comes after the FBI said more than 500 arrests have been made across southern Alabama since mid-January. Well, local leaders were on hand last Friday at the monthly Triumph Gulf Coast meeting. State Senator Don Gates was there. He wanted to make sure two outgoing board members got the recognition that they deserve.
Well, Collier Merrill and David Baer are two members of the board whose terms are up today. And I came to make sure that we said a proper thank you to both of them. They're extraordinary business leaders. They're great civic philanthropists in our community. David and Collier have been the leaders in the last 4 years of this board and of hundreds of millions of dollars worth of projects that are developing our economy and diversifying our economy.
And Gates was instrumental in founding Triumph Gulf Coast. He sponsored the legislation that created the organization and also sponsored the legislation that led to the lawsuit against BP following the 2010 Deepwater Horizon oil spill. Gates said that he could sum up Triumph Gulf Coast in one word, and that word was productive. Well, local farmers taking a look at their fields after the heavy rain last week in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Ryan Jenkins, he tells News Radio that they had 10 inches of rain at Jenkins Farms.
We're pretty fortunate because, like I say, planting season had gone pretty good, and we had finished up. I'm going to say if we have to replant any because of the rain, you know, it might be 10 or 15% of the total acreage probably at the end of the day.
And Jenkins said it was a lot of water to deal with at one time, but he'd rather have it be wet than dry at this time of year. 6:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Make your outdoor space summer ready. Get $50 off new mosquito or fire ant control service. Visit Insect today. Not reporting any accidents right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Starting to see a little bit of a delay if you're on Highway 90 approaching 9 Mile Road right out there at the cutoff. And also Davis Highway southbound approaching Olive Road. You're seeing about a 5 to 7 minute congestion delay. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Well, thank you very much, John. And right now we do have 76 degrees in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, 73 in Milton. Our next news is at 7 o'clock, and we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. And let's get a look at our market report this morning from our friends at Your Money Now.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were slightly higher this morning as global markets continue to react to deadly airstrikes between Israel and Iran. The two-year Treasury yield rose nearly 2 basis points to 3.974%, while the yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury was 1 basis point higher at 4.432%. Investors will monitor manufacturing survey data due out later this morning, which comes ahead of the Federal Reserve's interest rate decision on Wednesday. Fed funds futures are pricing in a nearly 97% likelihood of the central bank keeping rates unchanged, per CME's Fed Watch tool. Kering shares were trading up more than 7% as investors and analysts cheered reports that industry outsider Luca De Meo was set to become group CEO. The French fashion house is embarking on the latest phase of its turnaround strategy. Futures are slightly higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 769, the NASDAQ down 255, the S&P 500 down 68. That's Your Money Now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with IZERVAY, you can
slow it down.
IZERVAY slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. IZERVAY, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
The iconic Sherman tank is here, ladies and gentlemen. It was the cornerstone of the U.S. Armed Forces, showing its military might in World War II. It became one of the most influential tank designs of the 20th century. The M4 tank was nicknamed the Sherman tank after Civil War General William Tecumseh Sherman. Actually, it was named by the British. With almost 50,000 produced during World War II, the Sherman tank was in active service until 1957.
My wife said that it kind of reminded her of like a beauty contest. Like, and now Miss Sherman is going, but just that style of narration. I was so, like, I loved it. I didn't know what to expect out of this parade on Saturday. And if you didn't watch it, you missed it. I mean, you can always go watch it on YouTube or whatever. But, man, it was amazing. It was really fun. And I don't know. I didn't know what to expect. Honestly, I'll just tell you a little bit, okay? I was going into it a little bit like, is this going to be all about Trump? You know, is it going to feed into the allegations that he's just some, you know, a third world wannabe dictator, and this is, and it was not even remotely anything like that. It was genuinely just a celebration of the history of the country and of the men and women of the armed forces and the conquest and the equipment.
Another rolled by earlier, and at 2.5 tons, this deuce and a half, the M35A2 classic military transport truck, was a mainstay of the U.S. Army for decades, particularly during the Vietnam War and Operation Iraqi Freedom. The deuce and a half proved its value moving cargo, supplies, and soldiers. Its capabilities include up to 5,000 pounds off-road and 10,000 pounds on-road, making it ideal for moving just about anything.
It was educational. It was visually great to see all the different things. And I love the fact, my only criticism, I have two criticisms. One is, why didn't any of our broadcast TV carry this? Why didn't ABC, CBS, NBC, or Fox on the broadcast side? Now, Fox News had it, okay? And some of your conservative outlets, I guess ON and Newsmax and stuff had it. But C-SPAN was the only other, like, that's how I watched it. I watched it on C-SPAN. And I just thought, that's sad. So one thing is, why didn't they cover it? I mean, it's a pretty major event, you know, in our country. And second, I mean, they all cover the 4th of July. You know, I'll cover the Thanksgiving Day and the Rose Parade and all of this. Why not the 250th birthday of the United States Army? Seems like a fairly significant thing. The other one was, I just wish there was more, at least on C-SPAN, I wish there was more, like, you're seeing an Abrams, you're seeing a Sherman, you're, like, visually on the screen. You know, the way they identify a speaker when the speaker is talking, they just didn't do that. But I love, I mean, the narration for the parade itself, telling people what things were, is great.
And over the music, marching through, the roar of these legendary Army helicopters takes to the air. Flying overhead right now, they helped define the Vietnam War. That staccato beat of the rotor blades was a welcome sound to many troops mired in combat. From transport and medevac to close air support and reconnaissance, they brought the fight to the front and pulled the wounded to safety.
And it was, you know, interesting for me because I actually learned about a platform that I didn't know about.
The OH-6 Cayuse scouted the terrain with unmatched agility.
Never heard of that one.
The AH-1 Cobra, also nicknamed the Snake, brought serious firepower. Its slim design, as you can see here, helped it survive and thrive in hostile environments to protect soldiers below. And the icon of the era, the UH-1 Huey, the first turbine-powered helicopter in service with the U.S. military. There was nothing the Huey couldn't do. General support, air assault, cargo transport, medic evacuation, and ground attack missions. The Coyotes, Cobra, and Huey, ladies and gentlemen, three iconic Army symbols in the sky.
I mean, we still fly Cobras and variation of the Huey today. You know, the Coyotes, I don't know if that's still in operation at all. I don't think it is. The OH-6, I think he said. Anyway, that was not one that was familiar to me. And if you didn't watch it, okay, it went from... There was all kinds of elements, but one of the key elements was going historically through the time periods, right? And showing you World War II and Vietnam era, and I don't know where they got all those M16s. You know, they don't carry M16s anymore, but they're very distinctive, that look. Maybe they haven't. I mean, they made millions of them, so maybe they had them. I was actually wondering if they might not have been in, like, a, you know, Hollywood, like, because they do movies, right, where they have to carry them. And I just was curious where they got. I mean, where do they get old World War II uniforms from? I wouldn't think that would be in storage for the Army, but I would also definitely think they would be in some costume company's inventory. So I just don't know. Even things as recent as, you know, Desert Storm.
More military rolling stock. During Operation Desert Storm, the M2 Bradley fighting vehicle proved its value on the battlefield. It is fast, it is tough, and it is lethal. Named for General Omar Bradley, a leader from West Point's famed class of 1916, the Bradley was built to carry troops into combat with protection and power. Armed with a 25-millimeter chain-driven cannon and twin-tube-launched optically-tacked wire-guided missiles, it played a critical role in clearing the way during the ground assault into Iraq. While the Paladin looks and sounds like a tank, it is technically a self-propelled howitzer that was first introduced back in the 1960s. Over the years, it's been upgraded to perform in versatile battlefields from Vietnam to the Soviet Union to Iraq.
I mean, talk about education, celebration, history, and my own personal favorite part was the non-narration portion. Oh, man, there's nothing quite like the sound of tracked armor. And that's an Abrams rolling by the grandstand. And no, they don't sound smoothly oiled. They always sound exactly like that. John Pickens has got traffic on the 5. John, I was, you know, one of the things I was wondering is, like, what's the contingency? Because things break down. I mean, these things break down.
Right.
Okay. What's your contingency when you have an parade? And, you know, I mean, that Sherman probably doesn't get out a lot. You know, what's your contingency? The what if something happens? Pretty wide road. I suppose they can go around, but anyway, go on, John. Tell them about traffic.
The things you think about, right? During parades. All right, here we go. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on Davis Highway going southbound toward Olive Road, expect about a 5 to 7 minute delay. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. I'm not seeing any issues to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Yeah, no, it was fantastic. It was great to see all of the stuff. Great to see all of the people. I was horrified by the robot dog, you know, as I always am. They paraded the robot dogs because they went into modern and future technology.
But why are you horrified by the robot dog?
Because I've seen Black Mirror.
I know, so have I.
And I will never be able to look at a robot dog the same again. Not ever. I want to think they're cool. Instead, I'm horrified every time I see them. And so when they're narrating all the, and I know they're an amazing device and an unbelievable technology. And those are a little bit bigger. I think the Army ones are a little bit bigger than the Boston Dynamics, the like little ones. I think those run about 60 or 70 pounds. These ones are like 100, 110 pounds. But yeah.
Now let's roll on to the.
But I love the Billy Idol soundtrack.
Readiness. The Army Research Laboratory robot dogs reflect the latest in Army innovation. Look at this. Much like a true canine, these robots can go where soldiers cannot. They have increased mobility, improved tactical awareness, reduced risk to soldiers, and enhanced teamwork. Replacing soldiers, robot dogs can explore terrain that may be difficult for soldiers to traverse, dispose of explosive ordnance, and act in defensive posture or aggressive capacity when armed.
Yeah, I mean, they do all kinds of amazing things. No doubt, very, very useful, versatile. John, are you smiling because you're enjoying this? It's amazing,
I'm
right?
I'm enjoying it, and just I'm wondering what kind of therapy you're going to need after the body dog.
I'll get by. Okay. And then like Trump does an oath of service. You know, he basically gives them their induction service. And
Mr. President, First Sergeant Norton, reporting for duty, sir. Ready to commence the ceremony as directed.
I State your name.
I state your name.
Do solemnly swear.
I mean, it was cool. It was, you know, I was thinking, like, what is the purpose of all this? Obviously, celebrating the Army. Obviously, it's a promotional tool for recruiting. Okay, the Army is the only service that's already hit its goal, right, for recruiting for the year. So it's good for that. Celebrating America, teaching our history, our military history. Message to China. I mean, right? Don't you figure a little bit of this was a message to China? I think so. I did like Trump's final comment when he was doing the swearing in.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Welcome to the United States Army and have a great life. Thank you very much. Have a great life. Thank you.
Weirdly, I think that's a great thing to end with. Just, you know, hey, this it's a great life you're embarking upon. Have a great life. So, anyway, he gave a speech. J.D. Vance gave a speech. It's pretty, J.D. Vance is pretty short and not that much to it. Trump's speech, and this is one thing, we'll actually talk about this next hour. Trump's speech, 0% politics. Not a word of politics. Not a word about elections. Not a word about Biden. Not a word about liberals or Democrats or purely on message. And it was short. It was not about him. You know, for the people who were thinking that this was the No Kings protest was largely a response to this parade, right? Was, you know, we've got this king wannabe and we're going to protest him on his birthday, on the birthday of the Army, on the parade, right? That was the reason they'd called it No Kings. That's the reason why they did it that day. Kind of landed flat given that the parade was really as, I mean, you couldn't have had it be less about the president than it was. And even in his speech, it was not about him. It was none of the ordinary stuff that you expect from him. It was very short. I mean, I think his speech was like 7 minutes, something like that. So anyway, we'll cover that later. But I thought it was fabulous. Even all the way down to the end, the William Tell overture and the cannon fire. And with fireworks, of course. My original thought is I didn't understand why they were having it so late in the day, starting at 6:30 Eastern, so it could be dark for fireworks at the end. And so the heat of the day. Anyway, I thought it was great. What'd you think? 437-1620, 652 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you are needing that next vehicle, you want to pick yourself up a Sherman or an Abrams or a Paladin, it's just not the kind of vehicle that Frontier specializes in. They're too old, too many miles. Frontier specializes in cars that are only a year or two or three old with 10 or 20 or 30,000 miles. Great condition, good prices, cars you can count on, cars that they will warranty to 10 years or 100,000 miles. And really, you know, one of the things that I like about Frontier is they understand that you don't like the car buying process. Most people hate it, okay? Most people, they dread it, they put it off, they don't enjoy it when it's happening, and you're hoping to get it over as quickly as possible. Frontier gets that. They do. They understand. And they try to do things that make it not like that. You know, for example, if you want to drive a car, drive a car. If you want to drive six cars, drive six cars. If you want to sit down and talk, sit down and talk. If you don't want to talk, no big deal. I mean, just easy. And then, you know, if you wind up buying something, great. If they don't have what you want or you want something with, you know, lower price, higher miles, or, you know, you're willing to pay more and get lower miles, tell them to go looking for it. They go looking for people for cars all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
At Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, they know you've heard of acupuncture. But what is it? Acupuncture is a time-tested holistic medicine that can help decrease pain and restore function. They treat patients suffering from chronic back pain, neuropathy, joint pain, arthritis, migraines, and so much more. They can also help with digestive disorders, infertility, anxiety, and depression. To learn more or schedule a consultation, visit awpensacola.com. Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, where a healthier and happier you awaits.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's 9th Avenue Brass Band. This 10-member band has been bringing the true New Orleans style to Pensacola and surrounding areas since 2019. The 9th Avenue Brass Band never fails to bring the second line to the beach. See you there. No pets, no glass.
Join Dawn from Ochsner Nuvant Health 65 Plus tomorrow morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They're recognizing older Americans' contributions, highlighting aging trends, and reaffirming commitments to serve the older adults in our communities. Text or call in with your questions on how Ochsner Nuvant's Health 65 Plus can help. Tune in tomorrow.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This is Rush. Oh, be cool, train. I got them Duke boys this time. I really got them.
Change it, getting it here. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Roscoe probably doesn't got him.
No, I think they're still running.
655 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Monday. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. See here, we've got one accident that just happened on I-110 southbound right around mile marker number 5. And I'm starting to see a little bit of blockage there. That's around the Airport Boulevard exit. That's right before that, so just be aware of that. That seems to be the only delay and only accident that we have working for you right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Into the newsroom, David Wayne's got our headlines for us, Dave. But you and I were talking right before we came on the air about the my question about where did the M16s come from, and you said you had a theory about that because you were in the Army.
Right. I would guess that they were probably still in service in some type of a non-combat type unit, maybe a National Guard unit somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Like a reserve unit. Okay. The unit, or a reserve unit.
Yeah, guard, reserve, anything like that. The guard unit that I was in prior to our deployment, we still had Vietnam-era A1s.
What?
16 A1s.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. Wow. Okay.
Now, once we deployed and we were getting sent over to Iraq, then they replaced all of those. We all had M4 carbines.
Which is the upgrade from the M16.
Yeah,
so.
It was the newest version at the time. I don't know. They're probably 10 versions ahead by now. But you know. But, yeah, so those very well may have been still in service somewhere.
Some National Guard unit somewhere. The armory over on, you know.
The type of unit that only takes them out to go qualify once a year.
Right, exactly. No,
they don't have to have the latest and greatest. Yeah.
You're probably right. All right, you got to have headlines for us, David. Did you get to watch the parade at all on Saturday? I know you were with family.
Unfortunately not. Yeah, I had some family things going on, but I'm going to try to find a video on YouTube or something and watch that.
Was it fun hearing about it and hearing the mech and all the stuff? Yeah,
it's wonderful. Amazing. And stuff like that, just it really gets me excited. I can't wait to see that. It sounded like it was amazing.
It was, and you know what? Two worlds of reaction, right? The sort of anti-Trump, some of whom are also anti-America, but not all of whom are anti-America, just thought that it was ridiculous and silly and did not watch it, and so they don't really know what they're talking about. And then the people who watch it, I've talked to a number of people watching, like, my God, that was amazing. You know, so anyway, go ahead, sir.
Well, President Trump appears to be doubling down on the ICE raids that sparked all the protests in L.A. He announced over the weekend he'll be directing his administration to use every resource possible on deportation efforts. And he mentioned increasing enforcement actions in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, and other cities that he considers the core of the Democrat power center. Also, the Pope preaching peace to White Sox fans. Thousands packed Wright Field on Saturday to celebrate the election of Chicago native Pope Leo XIV. That event was hosted by the Archdiocese of Chicago and included a live-streamed address from the first ever U.S. born Pope, Cardinal Blaise Supich, also led a Catholic Mass at that event. And Benjamin Netanyahu, Israeli prime minister, defending his country's military actions against Iran. He did an interview with Fox News. Netanyahu said that Israel will do whatever is necessary to remove the nuclear threat that Iran poses.
Yeah, and they are suffering the retaliation, and I do not think this is going to be the end of it. But, people are talking about this like it's a big escalation. And in my mind, it was avoiding a much bigger escalation. And so you can't see what would have happened if they hadn't done anything. That's the problem with reality is you can never see the what would have happened or what wouldn't have happened. And, you know, so it's hard to know. But, you know, I certainly imagine much more horrific things if they had not done anything, and I know that's what they imagined as well. David, thanks so much for the update. 6:59 here on News Radio 92.3. MSTUs and MSBUs and tax units and all of this that came up in the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. Very interesting discussion. I mean, really frank discussion about these things and, you know, can we afford to build roads? And if you can't afford to build these roads or expand or improve upon these roads, then, you know, why do we keep planning and designing for these roads? Like I said, it was almost not exactly what you would expect in Santa Rosa County when somebody brings up the idea of taxes, but I thought a very good conversation. I don't know if it was a good outcome, but it was a very interesting conversation. We'll have that for you coming up next. Stick around.